Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20 is the text for the message this morning. As we've already noted, we are having baptism to follow and the message this morning at the conclusion of the service. And it's always an exciting time in the life of the church. And I'm thrilled anytime anyone wants to follow in the step of obedience to the Lord. I'm looking forward to that this morning at the conclusion of the service. I'm sure that most people have heard about baptism. If you've been exposed to any religious or church affiliation, you probably heard about baptism. Baptism takes on many different forms in many different religions, and so it's not something that is exclusive to us who are called Baptists. We're Beacon Baptist Church, and the question may be asked, are we Baptist because we baptize, or do we baptize because we're Baptist? But we're going to look this morning about baptism from the Scriptures, because religion can have its different rites and things like that. But what's most important is, what does God say about something? Where does it come from? Where's the foundation of it? And this is a very biblical thing. This baptism is a very biblical thing. It's not just a religious rite or religious ritual. It's a thing that's found in the Scriptures. And so it's exciting to see how that is. Like we said, probably most people have heard about baptism. Some have maybe been baptized, and some maybe have not. And some maybe this is something fairly new, and you will be looking at this, watching the baptism this morning and saying, I've never seen anything quite like that before. I mentioned a few minutes ago when we first came to Canada, I was 8 years old, and I remember we lived in Grimsby for a short while, and my parents were invited by the real estate agent that we were dealing with to go to a church service. And I don't know what we did. Us boys, we didn't go. I don't remember why or whatever. But my parents went, and they had a baptism service. And I remember my parents, they'd never seen anything like that before. And so they came home, and I remember them talking about it and saying how unusual it was that this elderly lady, I think it was, had been baptized that day in the church service. And so it was something very new to them. Obviously, I had never been exposed to baptism by immersion anyway. And so your knowledge of baptism may vary greatly, no matter what your age or how much exposure you've had to church. Your thoughts on baptism will probably vary greatly. But wherever you fit in that category as far as your knowledge of baptism, I trust that God will speak to your heart this morning, and you'll see from the Scripture what it's all about. And that's what we've entitled the message this morning. What is baptism all about? Matthew chapter 28 is where we'll begin. We'll look at verse 18. And this is Jesus speaking to the disciples after, of course, he'd been crucified and he'd risen again. And before he ascended, he met with the disciples. And it says in verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Notice it says in verse 19 that Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. What is baptism all about? Well, we'll look at that in the message this morning, but let's pray as we begin. Lord, we are thankful that we can meet together today, and we thank you for a great opportunity we have to open the Bible and to see what you have to say about baptism, a subject that may be familiar to some and not as much to others. But Lord, we thank you that we have your word that gives us clarity on what it means and what it's all about. And so I pray that you'd help us to see from your word this morning. And Lord, I pray that it would be a time that we would examine our own lives. It may be that there are some here who've never received Jesus Christ as their Savior, and today they would realize, we pray that they would realize that you love them and that you gave your Son for their salvation, and they can be saved today. Or it may be there's some here this morning who have been saved but have not followed you in believer's baptism, and I pray that this morning perhaps they would be challenged to do so. Lord, maybe that some here who would say, yes, I know what it is, I've been saved and I've been baptized, but Lord, may we too be challenged by what the baptism pictures and what it means. And Lord, may we be renewed in our hearts and lives to be obedient to you and to be resolved to follow you and to tell others about that great salvation that you have provided through your Son. And so, Lord, wherever we're at, I pray that you speak to our hearts through this message. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to think about, first of all, the reason for baptism. Why do we baptize? As I said a few moments ago, we're a Baptist church. Is that why we baptize? Well, I hope there's more to it than that. I hope there's a deeper meaning than just what's in a name. What is the reason that we were baptized? Well, there are numerous reasons and things that we would say perhaps are reasons that we should baptize and people should be baptized. And we'll see some of them in the message this morning. But perhaps the primary reason that we would need to recognize this morning is simply obedience. Obedience to the command of the Lord. And the main reason a believer should be baptized is because God says that they should. I know what you're thinking. Well, that's great. That's a good sermon. We're all done now. We can go home, right? We found out why we need to be baptized, so it's time to go. Well, not quite yet. We'll get there. But, you know, think about obedience. And the Bible tells us that God delights in obedience. It says that God delights in obedience greater than sacrifice. To hearken is greater to the Lord than the fat of rams. Think of the Old Testament sacrificial system. And yet Samuel said to King Saul in 1 Samuel 15:22, "Hath the Lord as great delight in sacrifices and obedience." You know, obedience is an important thing in the life of a Christian. We are guilty very often in our lives of selective obedience. We like to choose which areas that we want to be obedient in. We're like that in life from a child right through to adulthood, and I don't think it ever changes as long as we're, you know, on this earth. There are things that we find easy to do and things that we say, well, I don't really like the thought about that. But we see in our text here this morning that Jesus commanded the disciples to baptize people. He said, "Go ye therefore." That's an imperative statement. To go, teach, then baptize, and then teach to observe. And so we recognize the place that baptism has in here. If the disciples and passed on from the disciples to the church, we would say this morning, if they were given by Jesus the command to go and baptize, then we would understand that it's a command to be baptized as a Christian. A Christian is to follow the Lord in that step. John the Baptist said that God had sent him to baptize. So again, that shows that there's a priority, there's a need to be baptized. Often when baptism is mentioned in the New Testament, the one baptizing tells people, now you need to be baptized. It doesn't say, you don't say, well, you know, here's some food for thought. But he said, you know, they often say in Acts 2:38, when the people realized that they'd made a big mistake in crucifying the Lord and they were convicted in their hearts of their lack of acceptance of Jesus Christ as the Messiah, they were pricked in their hearts. They said, "What shall we do?" You know what Peter said? Repent and be baptized. It was a command. You need to be saved and then you need to follow the Lord. Identify with him in baptism. In Acts 10:48, Peter commanded those people who were in the house of that Roman centurion who believed, he said, "Be baptized." It was a command. He told them specifically to be baptized. Saul himself, who became Paul the Apostle, when he was led blind, because he'd been blinded on the road to Damascus, when he got to that place in Damascus, and Ananias came to him, who was a believer. What did Ananias say to Paul, or Saul at that point? "Arise and be baptized. You believed, now you need to be baptized." It was an imperative statement, be baptized. We often refer to baptism as being the first step of obedience. It's one of those things that early in our salvation, if we've heard of the need for baptism, that is something that we need to consider and address. It may or may not be done first after salvation, but if we look at the sequence here in our text, the disciples were to go and teach all nations. That was to make disciples of them, to help them to see the need of Christ, and then people would be saved. And then baptize those people who had believed. And then those people who had believed and been baptized were to be taught more about God, more about his word, more about what Jesus had said and commanded them to teach, to learn and to grow. Now, having said these things, we do not force, nor is anybody in the Bible ever forced to be baptized. They are simply instructed that this is what God would desire for you in your life. It's a personal choice, but we do believe the Bible teaches the believer to be baptized. And so to choose to be baptized is to obey the simple command of God and to just follow Him in obedience. And so the reason to be baptized is very simply obedience. But what is the resemblance? Now let's take our Bible and turn a few pages over, perhaps quite a few pages, to the book of Romans. Now in Matthew there, then Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and then Romans. Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter 6 gives a couple of pictures of what baptism is. When we talk about a resemblance, what does it resemble? What does it mean? What does it picture when a person is baptized? Well, here in Romans chapter 6, it says in verse 3, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." It says in verse 4, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. And so we see there's a picture, there's a resemblance. What does it mean to be baptized? Well, it pictures something. Now, let me say that the meaning of the word baptize means to immerse or to dip or to make fully whelmed. In other words, to be fully covered in water. There are several modes of baptism that are used today that are called baptism anyway. I was raised, I mentioned that my parents had never seen a baptism by immersion before when we first were in Canada. When I was a little boy over in England, before I knew what was happening or whatever, a few weeks old, whatever the case might be, I was sprinkled, I was christened, and that was called baptism at the time. It was sprinkling of water, probably on my forehead or something. I don't know, because I don't remember what I did, what happened to me when I was a few weeks old. Other people use pouring as a method, and so they would take water and pour it over somebody's head. And then, of course, there is immersion, complete immersion. And behind me this morning, there is a tank of water that is probably about 8 feet by 4 feet by probably 3.5 feet deep right now, full of water. And we baptize by immersion. Why? Because that defines what the word means. It means to immerse. It means to fully get wet. And so really, immersion is what fulfills the definition of the word in simplicity. That's what the word exactly means. But there are other things that it pictures or that it resembles. And the first one we just read about here is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that Jesus died on the cross, that He was buried, and that 3 days later He rose again. Now, I know that some have tried to say that Jesus didn't really die, that He just swooned, fainted, and after 3 days in a cool tomb, He revived. But no, the Bible teaches very clear that Jesus died on the cross. And when a person goes down into the water, it pictures that Jesus died. And when they come up out of the water, it pictures that Jesus rose again from the dead. You know, the reason that Jesus died was for us, for our sins. The just died for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. The Bible tells us that we are all sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of our sin, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. What are wages? Wages are what we deserve. That's what we earn. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus died, He took our place so that He could give us the gift of eternal life. A gift is not what you deserve. A gift is what somebody gets you in kindness to show their love for you. And so Jesus died for us, the just for the unjust. He died a sacrificial death. His blood was shed as He died on that cross, and from the wounds in his hands and his feet and those other places and the crown of thorns, the blood flowed from our Savior as he died to provide for us eternal life, to provide a means that we could be cleansed from our sin. We sang the song this morning, there's power in the blood. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? That's speaking about our heart that is black with sin, can be washed white, made clean by the blood of Christ. That's why Jesus died. He's the only one that could save us. You know, if we could work to save ourselves, Jesus wouldn't have had to come. If we could be good enough, if we could pay enough, if people could do things on our behalf to save us, Jesus wouldn't have need to come. But he did need to come because we are sinners and only Jesus can save us. And he died to save us. After 3 days in the grave, Jesus rose again, as we read here. And it says in verse 9 of Romans chapter 6, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. He rose from the dead and he conquered death and him that had power of the death of death, even the devil, the Bible tells us. And so Jesus rose again and he conquered death for all who will believe in him. So although the wages of sin is death, those who believe in Jesus Christ can be delivered from death. Well, we may face physical death, but never spiritual death. Jesus said that he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Jesus died and he conquered death. He rose again from the grave. And so when a person is brought back up out of the water, it's showing that Jesus rose again. He rose again for us so that we could have salvation. So when a person is baptized, they are picturing the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. But may I go just a little bit deeper, as we say, maybe just a step beyond that, and to say that Jesus died on the cross. Yes, he was buried. Yes, he rose again. Yes, that's a general statement that's true. But when a person is getting baptized, what they are saying is, I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe that Jesus died because I'm a sinner and he died in my place, and I believe that he died for me and that he rose again so that I could have eternal life. See, it goes to the personal level, doesn't it? Many religions teach that baptism is a part of salvation, but no, baptism is a picture. The person being baptized is picturing and saying, I've already placed my faith in the fact that Jesus died for me and rose again. And now I am identifying with him and showing to you what he did for me. I believe that this is what he did for me so that I could be saved. Romans 10:9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I said I was raised in a Methodist church. I remember, you know, I was told to be a good person. I was told to be good and do good things and be a nice person and all those things that often religion teaches. But, you know, the religion that I was taught says if you're just a good person, it's okay. Jesus died for everyone, so everyone's okay as long as you're good. But the Bible says that we must believe in our heart. Personally, myself, I need to believe in Jesus, that he died for me. And when a person gets baptized, they are saying, I believe, I've already placed my faith in Jesus to pay the price for my sin. And I'm just testifying to that this morning, or whenever that would be, when a person would be baptized. They're not getting baptized to be saved, but to show that they already have been, that they have already believed in what Jesus did for them. But baptism is also, not only is there a reason, is obedience, the resemblance is it pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ for me. But it's also a resolve. If you look in our verses that we just read here, in verse number 4, it says, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Look at this last phrase. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Walk in newness of life. Baptism testifies to the desire of the one being baptized that they want to live for Jesus Christ. They want to live differently than they lived before they knew the Lord. They want to live differently than if they had never known the Lord. They want to live a different life. It's a resolve. The song, and I don't think it's in our hymn book, but it says, I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. I want to be resolved to serve God and to follow God. The Bible tells us that those who are in Christ are made new. They're new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And if we were to have the time to look at some of the testimonies of people in the Bible who believed in Jesus, their lives were changed. Their lives were completely transformed, and they may have been living a horrible, wretched life before, but they placed their faith in Jesus, and Jesus changed their life, and they went out and they did differently than they did before. We referred to Saul a few moments ago. Saul was a great persecutor of Christians, and he said, I will not accept the fact that this Jesus is the Messiah. And he was putting to death and putting in prison people who believed in Jesus, but one day he met Jesus Christ personally, and his life changed, and he then began to preach about Jesus, that he is the Son of God, that people would be saved by believing in him, and the persecutor became the persecuted. Why? Because his life was changed. It was transformed. A woman who was brought to Jesus in sin, caught in the very act of sin, Jesus forgave her, and he told her these three words, go and sin no more. Four words, however many that is. Go and sin no more. Why? Your life has been changed. Go and sin no more. Romans chapter 6, the end of chapter 5 into chapter 6, and really the whole of chapter 6 is a lesson. It's a message to the Christian to say that your life is not the same as it used to be. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to the Lord. You need to live for the Lord. Don't live in sin anymore, but live for the Lord. And when a person gets baptized, they're saying, listen, I lived long enough for the world, and I don't want my life to count for the wrong. I want my life to count for Christ and for what's right. And I believe that He died and saved me, and I want to live to show what He can do in my life. It's a resolve to walk in newness of life. If Jesus died to deliver us from sin, why would we want to continue to live in sin, is the argument of this chapter of Romans chapter 6. And so when a person is following the Lord in baptism, they're saying, Jesus saved me, and now I want to live a victorious life. If He could conquer death, He can give me the victory over anything that I face in my life. The songwriter said, and we'll sing the song at the end of the service this morning, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. It's a resolve. The desire to live a different life begins with salvation. It is shown in baptism, but really, isn't it something that we need to resolve every day of our life, Christian? Today I resolve to live for the Lord. Today I resolve to do what is right in the sight of God because He loved me and He gave Himself for me, and I want to please Him with my life. And so baptism, there's a reason. It's obedience. There's a resemblance. It pictures the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. For me, there's a resolve to say, I want to live a new life. But there's also a recommendation that comes in baptism. The person being baptized is testifying to the fact that they have believed, but they're also in essence saying, I have believed, will you believe? I followed the Lord, I'm following the Lord in obedience, will you follow the Lord in obedience? One of the reasons that we have public baptisms, as in it's part of our church service, is because it's an opportunity for those of us who are witnessing it to see the testimony of that person and to really hear them say, I'm following Christ, will you? I believed in the Lord, will you? It's a recommendation to those who don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. One being baptized is recommending to those who have not received the Lord to receive Him. Like the psalmist said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. They're saying, I've been saved. He's changed my life. You know, He will do the same for you. They know where you are if you haven't believed, because they were there too. They want you to know and experience the peace and joy that they have in their life. You know, the Bible tells us that as believers who found the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we have a responsibility to teach other people. It's not just the preacher, but it's all believers have the obligation and the opportunity to tell other people that Jesus saves. He saved me and He will save you too. Baptism is really one of the, maybe the first ways we do that. One of those opportunities to do that. And so the person is saying, listen, I recommend that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ like I have, because He'll change your life like He's changed mine. And then to the Christian, the one following Christ in baptism is saying, as it were, be obedient to the Lord like I am. Christian, follow in my footsteps as I follow Christ. Paul said, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And they're testifying to us this morning. The one being baptized this morning is testifying, listen, you need to follow Christ and be obedient to Christ. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. What about you? What areas of your life are there that maybe you need to follow the Lord in obedience? They're saying to those who know Christ who have not been baptized, they're saying, in effect, you can be obedient by following the Lord in the step like me. It's a time for those who have been baptized to reflect back. Do you remember when it was your turn getting baptized? Maybe some areas in your life you say, well, boy, I know I followed Christ in obedience then, but there's some things in my life that I'm not following Him as obediently as I ought to. It's an opportunity to reflect. Remember the resolve you had when you got baptized? Yes, I want to please the Lord. How's that resolve today? If you're not living like you know you should be before the Lord as a Christian, then that person being baptized is, as it were, saying, listen, you need to obey the Lord like I am today. Though the older Christian is responsible to teach the younger Christian according to the Word of God, the elder teach the younger Christian sometimes is also an example to the older Christian to follow the Lord, be obedient to the Lord, have a resolve to do what the Lord wants you to do with your life. And so as you are witnesses to the baptism today, may it be that God would speak to your heart, and may it be that you would see the recommendation to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. May it be that you would see in the baptism the recommendation to follow the Lord in obedience to Him. So what is baptism all about? Well, the reason is simply obedience. When Jesus came to John the Baptist and said, I want to be baptized, John said, no, I have need to be baptized of you, and comest thou to me? What did Jesus say? Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fill all righteousness. It was a pattern for us of obedience. Jesus fulfilled the Father's will. And the reason to be baptized is obedience. The resemblance of baptism is Jesus' death and burial and resurrection, and a testimony to my faith in it. The resolve of baptism is to live a new life in Christ. And the recommendation of baptism is to tell others to believe in Christ and be saved, to tell the Christian to walk in obedience to the Lord. So as we consider a few minutes this morning what baptism is all about, I pray and trust that God will speak to your heart as you witness this baptism this morning. Let's pray together.